Yeah, it's Pulse with the sports. You don't need another report. Bleeding green till I D-I-E. Hold it down for the best team. We in first place, we the Celtics. Try to shoot it, we ain't let ya. Finna go and win a ring. Giving fades like I'm Kyrie. You the opposition, can't score yet. Homie, you ain't even on the floor yet. Big buckets and big shots. Better check the time on the shot clock. Got my shooters on me, they wet you up. It's a 30-footer, I ain't letting up. Scary Terry with the dancing bear. Gonna light it up like it ain't fair. Dunk it on you like Rozier. Fourth quarter, we in fifth gear. I got Tatum, I got Brown. I got Marcus locking you down. Grab a broom, it's a sweep. Score 100 on our feet. Celtics Pulse, we the team. And we don't accept defeat, yeah.
Welcome back to another episode of the Celtics Pulse Podcast, part of the Pulse Podcast Network. Be sure to check out the rest of the great podcasts that are part of the network at pulsepodcastnetwork.com. And this episode is going to be brought to you by Thrive Fantasy, a new prop betting app that if you click the link in our bio on Twitter at Celtics_Pulse, we will double your initial deposit. And they are a great new prop betting app, like I said. Be sure to check them out. And we also have an affiliation with Tix Blitz. And that is Tix Blitz, like a football play. And if you use the promotion code PULSE in all caps, you will get a discount on your first purchase.
Have you been searching for the best ticket deals around? Well, look no further. With TixFlix, the price you see is the price you pay. And TixFlix just happens to have over $6 billion in ticket inventory just waiting for you. They absolutely mean it when they say every ticket, every venue, everywhere. And you can save even more with promo code PULSE in all caps to save you 5% off your total purchase. Just go to TixFlix.com and click the search bar. Search events based on your geographic location. Pick the show you want, and bam, it's showtime. Sporting events, Broadway shows, concerts, and more with TixFlix.com. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for the email newsletter so you can stay up to date on the latest news and savings with TixFlix. That's TixFlix.com, TixFlix.com. Every ticket, every venue, everywhere.
Today, we got Tim, Adam, and we have a special guest on. We have Dante on deck. How are you guys doing today?
Doing good, man. Thank you guys for having me on today.
Not a problem, man.
Always happy to have you on, bro.
All right, so I figured the first thing we could hop into here, Celtics just got off this big road trip where everyone's talking about they turned a corner, but really they're still 4-6 in their last 10 games. They went 3-1 on the road trip. Do you feel, Dante, that the Celtics really are looking different and kind of here to stay a little bit more improved for the rest of this season after seeing that road trip?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the team has definitely turned a corner, especially with the win over Golden State, which was arguably the biggest win of the year for the team. I feel like this team is just starting to pick up momentum, and it's happening at the best time because we only have left the regular season, so the playoffs are starting soon, next month. So I think they're starting to get that energy. They're starting to figure things out now, and it's better late than never. Even with the loss of the Clippers, they lost by 25 road trip. I think that they really figured some stuff out that they needed to figure out all along this year. I think that they're getting more comfortable playing with each other. I also, from this road trip, I mean, we can talk about this later on too, but I think that like Jaylen Brown and Gordon Hayward have proved that they should be the starters or even starting going forward. But I think that this trip was fantastic for the team, and hopefully I don't eat my words and we lose at home tomorrow night in embarrassing fashion. But I think that we're looking good now.
I think they've turned the corner in the sense that you've got a lot of things going for you now. Definitely one thing I will say is Kyrie's bringing a different energy to the locker room. It's funny to hear his comments being like, we got to get out of L.A. because everyone knows that L.A. nightlife is just crushing him. It's the same thing in Miami. Cool. Like, it just absolutely crushes him. But they played with a different energy. Team seems to be, you know, getting out of that funk that they had earlier on in the year. And as of late, with the media being the way they have been with the team, it's good to see them kind of come out of it and, you know, doing better. With Kyrie leading that charge, you know, you've got Hayward playing a lot better significantly during this run. He's been one of your best offensive players in terms of ratings. And just overall, seeing how comfortable he is on the floor now, I do think there is a time for a lineup change. I think Morris needs to go back to the bench. I've been saying start Jalen, start Hayward if you can, just to give your lineup a little bit more juice and to just – you need your optimal lineup out there, and I think that's going to be starting with Brown and Hayward being on the floor at the same time. But, you know, they're going to start this homestand. You're in the stretch of games now where you're going to be getting closer to the playoffs, and getting that momentum, getting the team right is the first thing on the agenda. And, you know, even with that Clippers loss, yeah, there seemed to be a different attitude with the team, you know. And that's a hard matchup. You know, you go into on the fourth game of a West Coast road trip and you've won three games straight, and now you have to go against the Clippers, who arguably at that time were probably the hardest team you're going to go against, just because you've got them at full strength and you've got a team with Gallinari and Lou Will. So those guys got buckets and you just got buried. But considering it's a brutal stretch of games, I'll take 3-1 any day.
Yeah, like you said, I mean, Tatum just turned 21. They spent 5 nights in L.A. Of course, your last night there is going to be rough, and it's a hard playing Clippers team. So, I mean, I'm not too worried about that Clippers loss. I think that they're still riding high. Obviously, you'd prefer to sweep it, but you're moving forward, and there was good things to take overall from that road trip. But the next games we see are, like you touched on a little bit, Dante, tomorrow night against Sacramento. We have Saturday against Atlanta, and then Monday against Denver. All three home games. I think that these next three games are huge. All of these teams play well. Even Atlanta, the worst team on there easily, has been playing a lot better as of late. They're playing as a team. You got guys like Trae Young, Kevin Huerter, John Collins, all doing well. I think that if you come out and, like you said, you shoot a brick against Sacramento, then everything could go back to being where everyone's worried about the Celtics and what is this team really going to be doing come the postseason. We really need to keep this road trip energy going over these next three games.
No, absolutely. I agree. I think these next three home games are equally as important as the four away games we just had, because we have to show, we have to prove that those games weren't a fluke, like that we weren't just on the West Coast and we just started to play well because of the plane ride, blah, blah, blah. No, we have to prove that stuff is going to stick and that we're actually going to continue playing at that level. Even with Sacramento and Atlanta, yeah, both those teams aren't going to make the playoffs. At least Atlanta isn't. Sacramento might, seed or whatnot, but you still can't, you can't take these teams lightly, because Sacramento, they'll run you off the court. They're a fantastic young team. I love them. Atlanta's been playing so much better in the second half of the year than they have in the first half, compared to the first half. Last time we played them, Jamal Murray almost dropped 50 points on us. So we have something to prove against them. And even we only have a few games left. We only have 14 games left. We have important games against Philadelphia, twice against Indiana. We're playing Miami twice, Brooklyn twice. We're playing against teams that are ahead of us in the rankings that could be our matchup in the playoffs in the first round, Miami and Brooklyn. Like, these are important games. Like, these are games that we most certainly should, can win and should win, but we can't take these teams lightly, and we just got to finish out the season strong.
Denver is one of those teams that I'd be afraid of a little bit. They're a very, very good team. They're capable of shooting the ball very well. And, you know, Jokic is one of those guys that I think is just so sneaky good for a big. And like you said, Jamal Murray, I mean, he almost dropped a 50 patty on us last game. So yeah, I hope they come out guns blazing. That's the one team, you know, with the Kings, obviously they're one of those young teams that kind of could run you off the floor. But Denver is one of those teams that can just go in at any building, any night, I think, and he could take a game. So I'd be worried about them. And I don't know if you guys heard the news earlier, just concerning Denver, is that Isaiah Thomas is going to be out of their playoff rotation and out of their rotation for the time being. I saw it. I feel really terrible. And I honestly, I hope in my heart of hearts, I hope he can somehow find his way back to Boston this offseason with, I think, the departure of Terry Rozier. I don't know what else is going to happen in terms of departures or additions, but I personally would love it if Isaiah came back, because, you know, he had his best season here. And I think there's a chance that if he's healthy, you know, you can replicate it or at least get close to it.
I feel like this
go ahead.
I feel like that's a like a my mind's telling me no, but my body, I would love to see it. But at the same time, there's these liabilities with IT.
He's such a defensive liability.
My mind's telling me no.
Exactly.
My body.
I mean, no, but that guy just can't catch a break, man. He's had it rough the last few years. He deserves to be back in Boston. It's the one place he's appreciated.
Here's the thing with Isaiah. I think people are against there are some people that are against the idea of Isaiah Thomas coming back to Boston. I am all for it. I think next year would be great, because I don't know what's going to go on with our guard situation with Kyrie and Rozier, what's going on with them. I think Isaiah Thomas, especially just coming off the bench, I think that would be perfect for him in Boston. He doesn't have to be that superstar that he was when he was here the first time around. He doesn't need to be scoring. He could easily come off the bench and play 20, 25 minutes and then put up, I don't know, how many points ever he wants to put up.
He could put up a bunch.
He definitely could.
It's an ideal role.
I mean, he's had great games in Denver so far. I mean, for what reason they're but he has had good scoring outings for Denver in the games that he's played.
I just think that he's really trying to prove himself right now coming back from this injury. And they move the ball really well. And Monty Morris especially is their point guard that's really able to do that. Since they have Jamal Murray starting at the one in the starting lineup, he's not really a traditional point guard. So if then you're bringing in Isaiah Thomas behind him, another score first point guard, then it's just, I feel like they're looking for that ball movement a little bit more.
That was one of the things they saw. Yeah, when it came down to it, it was Monte Morris' emergence is part of the reason why he's fell out of rotation.
I saw the stat where it was the usage percentage for players, and it was since Isaiah was in the lineup, he had a usage rating of 25-30% or something crazy like that. And that's not really the best stat to have, because that just shows that when the ball's in your hands, it's sticking there.
Yeah.
It's probably why he got benched in Harris. They have a lot. Denver had a couple players I never even heard of that just popped off this year, and they have I love Denver this year. So they have a solid team, but I mean, obviously, I mean, they're the second best team in the West right now, I believe, second or third. So, I mean, they got to stick to what they were doing that made them so successful.
Yeah. And back to Boston a little bit, you were talking about the starting lineup. We've been saying this for weeks now. Like Tim said, that we want Morris out of here. I'm curious what your ideal starting lineup looks like and why you think that it hasn't changed yet.
I think the reason why it hasn't changed yet, I believe, is because Brad Stevens has gotten comfortable with this lineup, because we were 10-10 when we changed the lineup up, and then we went on a good run and all that. So the lineup has worked, and it's still, it's not that it's not working anymore. It's just freshening it up a little bit to kind of get more spark off the bench, get more spark in the starting lineup. My ideal lineup would be the lineup that we started with at the beginning of the year. Kyrie, Jalen, Jason, Hayward, and Horford. Because ideally, those are probably arguably your five best players. The only other guys I can think of, Marcus Morris, have been huge this year. Brown has been playing so well off the bench recently, and he deserves to start. Hayward has finally started to get a better feeling under his legs. He's starting to finally play like we're kind of expecting him to. Not quite there all the way yet, but he's getting better and better, and we can see it. I think that's just the lineup you have to roll with. I mean, if that's having the playoffs, that's our best lineup. We just got to start using them now. I mean, we have 14 games left, like I said, so we got to start getting some chemistry together.
Yeah, and the big argument that I hear a lot of people say, because I'm in the same boat with that, is that, Kyrie has really enjoyed working with Marcus at that starting lineup spot. They fit well together, but I feel like if you're moving Gordon into that starting lineup specifically, that you need another playmaker off the bench to really run that bench unit, and to me, that's exactly what Smart is.
Absolutely. If I were to pick one of the two, I would pick Jalen over Hayward, and I would do something, so it would be a small ball lineup, but I would do something like Kyrie, Marcus Smart, Jalen, Tatum, and Horford. If you want to do that, I'm obviously more a fan of starting both of them, but I Fultz off the bench over Smart if I were to pick one of the two. But I would still like to see Hayward, both Hayward and Brown, get put back in the starting lineup.
I think the rationale behind that is that you want to try and ease Hayward into that starting role and not rush him back. I also think if you're pairing him with Morris off the bench as your primary guys, and you have Terry Rozier in that mix for like the top three guys off your bench, that's pretty damn good, especially if you're going to be running like a point forward situation with Hayward doing a lot of the facilitating. Just because he's a very natural passer, he always makes the smart play, and he tends to defer a lot, which earlier in the season was a problem, and now since he's gotten his confidence back, it's been less of an issue. But I wouldn't be opposed to keeping Smart in there, just because I think that the pairing of Kyrie and Smart has just been so damn good, and I think Jalen's really earned his spot back, at least in terms of taking a spot away from Morris.
Do you think that that Sacramento game winner does a lot for Gordon's confidence? I mean, he's slowly been playing well in general, but that one specific moment where he's really to win the game for the team, does that do a lot for him moving forward?
Hell yes.
That helps his confidence 100%. I mean, just like I'm sure all his teammates were telling him, just giving him support, saying like you hit that shot, like we are committed to you being one of the best players on our team. Like, we have confidence in you to hit that shot. And just, I'm sure hearing that from your teammates and hitting that shot absolutely boosts your confidence.
Yeah, and the big thing that I see is that the guys look like they're actually having fun. I know it's the same thing that Morris got on him for earlier, but Jalen was a prime candidate of this. I felt like anytime something happened, Jalen was on the bench, he was still sitting down. He might clap occasionally, but now, I mean, really since that Golden State game, all the guys are on their feet when something happens. Like, these guys seem like they're all rooting for each other now, and there's just a different camaraderie to the team a little bit.
I wonder how much of that is there has been a change in the culture, or, you know, there has been a different tone, and I think part of that is, and we covered a little bit last pod, was they're not referring to the younger guys on the team as the young guys. We're all teammates. That's what it is. You're up. This is what you've got. This is what you got for the rest of the season. These are the guys that you got behind you and, you know, going on the front lines. But I think a lot of it also has to do with the fact that you're getting closer to the playoff time, and I think there's maybe they just had a wake-up call where it's like, guys, if we keep playing the way we're playing and we go into the postseason, we're going to get wrecked. So maybe, you know, I don't want to say that they're that switch team, but maybe they kind of flicked a switch in terms of the mentality, because you kind of need to amp up that level of intensity when you get into the postseason. They know that.
Maybe it was that plane ride. Right.
Yeah, I mean, the plane ride certainly helped, but it's like, I mean, I'm speaking for myself. Like, I don't know. They have the team have to realize that, like if we're on the same page, like there's only one team that could stop us, and that's the Warriors. Like, realistically, I mean, on paper, we have probably one of the deepest teams in the league. Like, they have to realize, and I think that's what they kind of realized. You're saying how they're cheering each other, like they have each other's backs. They have to support each other. They have to allow each other to succeed. They have to understand that page, and they're like, their chemistry's up, and they play the way they did like this West Coast trip. We can go toe to toe with the Warriors. I'm not saying we could beat them, but we are going to match up with them well in the finals. And I think they have to realize that, like, we can throw this all away. Like, we can keep our heads up our asses and go into the playoffs and get crushed, or we can kick some ass and make it all the way to the finals and see what happens there.
Yeah, I touched on Jalen a little bit. I heard a quote from Kyrie telling Tatum that, you know, once it's your time and I see you're able to take over, I'll get out of your way a little bit. I feel like Jalen hearing that, I mean, is not going to feel great. Obviously, I mean, any young guy with that much potential thinks that they can run a team. So in my opinion, I think that Jalen hearing that is not going to feel great on his side. I mean, do you think that gets to his head a little bit with Tatum already overpassing him, you know, being a year younger?
There have been a lot of things that were said this year that probably got some of the guys down. Not maybe not brought their confidence down a lot, but something like that, like hearing that, yeah, for sure, that's not going to make you feel good. Kyrie has, I'm sure that's not, Kyrie didn't mean bad intentions when he said that. And just like a lot of things he says something in his head. He probably thinks it comes out one way, but then it could be taken a completely other way. I mean, Jaylen Brown, he's hit game winners before. He hit a game winner versus Utah last year, I believe.
Yeah.
For games. Like, we see how well he can play when he's one of the top options on our team. I feel like that comment is just kind of unnecessary, to be quite honest.
It seemed like it was more of a comment. It was on a podcast, right? It was some podcast, and they were talking about how he's like, you know, at the end of the day, like, I want you next to me, like, in the guts and glory, that whole shebang. I don't necessarily think it was a jab at Jaylen as much as it is. It's just speaking to how much of a bond Kyrie and Jason have. They have the same agent. They both went to Duke. I remember even before the Celtics went and got Kyrie, Kyrie had that snap video being like, yeah, like, go Jason, like, cheering him on, like, when he got drafted from home, like, he was like filming his TV. So, I mean, there's a lot there between Kyrie and Jason. I think that means, you know, I think their futures are tied together. So I just buying more and more into the fact that I think Kyrie is staying for sure. And maybe that situation with Jaylen is a little bit more complicated because I think he's a little bit more, not to say that Jason isn't intelligent, but I think Jaylen thinks a little bit more, is a little bit more thought provoking, a little bit more cerebral. And I think because of that, he kind of has a certain air about him. And I don't think it's a bad thing. I don't know if him and Kyrie's kind of mentalities and attitudes gel as much as you'd hope.
Yeah, I remember we talked to Jared West, and he said Jaylen is extremely reserved and really to himself. And obviously that could just be with media when those guys are in there. I mean, I saw a video of him warming up at the Clippers game with Kyrie teaching him some dance moves, you know, so we really don't know. But you touched on how Tatum is really close with Kyrie, and that makes you a little more confident Kyrie's going to stay. Some of the logic that I hear behind bringing in AD is that's going to convince Kyrie to stay because that's his guy. If Tatum gets shipped off for AD, is that an issue for Kyrie right there?
I mean, you could look at it. You can look at, like, who is he like more, Anthony Davis or Jason Tatum. But, I mean, in Kyrie's perspective, like, yeah, him and Jason are pretty close. I do believe that if we bring Anthony Davis, that's going to want Kyrie to stay, and that's going to want Anthony Davis to stay long-term if Kyrie's there as well. Don't get me wrong, I love Jason Tatum. I think he is going to be an absolute star in this league. But if the team wants to win, you have to trade Tatum for Davis. Like, together, while they're both entering their primes on long-term deals, like, and then you build around them, you're still going to have key players around them. Like, I don't know who they'd ship out with Tatum, but you're still going to have solid guys around you, and you could work with that. And I think that would give you a better chance. That duo gives you a better chance of winning than a duo of Kyrie and Tatum right now. So I think that 100% keeps Kyrie long-term, and I think keeping Kyrie would keep Anthony Davis in for the long-term as well.
It could also be a situation like it was with Kevin Garnett where, you know, they were like, okay, yeah, we're going to Boston, we're going to trade you there, and he has input on what players go into the deal. Similar to, like, I had mentioned it before in, like, a pod a while back that Kevin Garnett was like, no, Rondo to stay there. Like, keep that guy there because he wanted to play with him. So, I mean,
absolutely,
it really depends.
Happened.
Yeah, I mean, and, like, sure. That's – it's not to say that the Pelicans would be so open to it, but it's not like the Celtics don't have other assets or other players to throw
no,
in.
No, for sure. It's just tough because you'd figure, like, if you're going to get a player like Anthony Davis, you would have to give up someone like Jason Tatum.
We've seen it before, though, too, with the whole situation with Kawhi Leonard, with Jimmy Butler, with Paul George. It's never the amount of assets that you'd always figure. And, you know, even with the, you know, Kyrie-Isaiah trade, you know, looking back on it now, look what's left. Look what Cleveland had left. You know, it's never as much as we expected to be. Yeah.
Yeah, so, no, for sure. I agree with that 100%.
It all is really dependent on how those trade talks shake out. I definitely agree that a pairing of AD and Kyrie is far better than what you've got with Jason and Kyrie, but it's also because we don't know what Tatum's ceiling is going to be. And it's the same reason why guys are so valued is because, man, they're showing flashes of greatness, but like, what are they going to be in 5 years? Are they going to be the next Paul George? Are they going to be the next Anthony Davis? So it will be interesting to see how the summer is handled, but I really, really hope if they go and get Davis, they can somehow keep those three together, because that would be something special.
Yeah, that would be the new big three in the NBA, 100%.
Yeah. My thing, like you said, is that you touched on, you know, is Tatum going to be the next AD? Like, you really dream of him turning into an AD-level talent. So it comes down to it, then I agree with what you guys are saying. You know, I'm willing to put Tatum in there, even though it's going to hurt. I mean, we're going to be closet Pelican fans. It's something you got to do.
No, I agree. And like, this is how I look at it. Anthony Davis, in my eyes, this is how I look at Anthony Davis. I view Anthony Davis as a generational talent. I look at him as a guy that could go down as one of the best big men ever, not just of our generation, ever. There are some things that this guy can do on a basketball court that we've never seen a big man do. He just does so. He has so many moves in his arsenal. He is capable of doing so much, and he's so good at what he does. Tatum could be as good or better than that. That's how you have to look at it. I don't think it's going to be very hard to be better than Anthony Davis. He's not even in his prime yet. I don't even know how much better he's going to get. I don't think Tatum might reach the levels that Anthony Davis will reach in his prime. That's why I wouldn't mind making that trade. But it's how you view the players.
Yeah. Touching on all these potential guys we could be moving, we talked about it on the last pod. I'm curious what your pick is here. Do you have a favorite guy? Like, I have Marcus, where I'm like, you know, that's probably my favorite play style. I love the way he plays. But for some reason, when Jaylen does something, it just gets me going in a different way. Like, do you have a Celtic or even really anyone in the league that just has that soft spot for you that you go crazy when they do something?
I think one of the things with the Celtics that upsets me is when we decide to take long twos instead of driving to the basket or shooting the threes. Something like that irks me, especially Tatum with his long twos. I know that's kind of a running joke on Celtics Twitter. Something like that, honestly. It's like, if you're like that close to the 3-point line, like take an extra step back, or like if we're just settling for contested mid-range jumpers instead of driving to the basket, like stuff like that irks me, I would have to say. At the top of my head, that's what I would pick.
What gets you pumped up, though? Like, what gets you jacked up? So, like, you know, like, hey, we're doing, like, dunking off one foot.
Okay, yeah. What gets me jacked up? Probably when Marcus Smart makes game-winning plays. When he dives to the floor for loose balls and he just puts his body on the line. I think that just brings so much energy to the team. Even, like, he's taking just as many charges as Marcus Smart. That energy that Marcus Smart brings defensively is contagious. And I love it when he gets going and he gets the team going and he gets the crowd going. Like, oh, it's the best thing. And another thing I love is when players make a big play and they start pumping their
jersey,
their chest, their jerseys. Like when Kyrie hit the shot against Toronto, he was just flapping the Celtics or the Boston on the front of his jersey. Like that shit's so awesome. I love seeing stuff like that.
Yeah, agreed, man.
Yeah, that's the type of shit where you're like, all right, yeah, this guy is staying. There's no way all this drama and extra crap is ridiculous.
There's one guy on this team that I would actually, like, cry if we got rid of would be Marcus Smart. Ever since he got drafted, like, that guy has been my boy. Like, I absolutely love Marcus Smart. Like, the effort that he puts in, the stuff that he's been through, like, all the money that he's making, he's earned the playing time, he's earned everything that's been given to him. I love him. If he ever got traded for Anthony Davis, that would be the one player I'd be actually pissed that we traded. And as long as he's on the Celtics, he's probably going to be my favorite player on the team.
Have you heard, we just found this last pod, have you heard the song, the rap that Marcus made after he got his paycheck?
Yeah, it was like 52
52 mil.
52.
I've seen that come up on my timeline a few times. I've only listened to it like once or twice. I don't know if I'm the biggest fan of him in the studio. As long as he still plays good basketball, it's fine with me. He can do whatever the hell he wants.
That's fair. If I got a $52 million contract, I might try to make a song.
If I made $52 million, I'd probably go on a song. I'd probably rap about it.
Yeah, exactly. So you talked on playoff matchups a really bit. I agree that when we're really meshing, that we really should be able to make the finals, give Golden State a good run for their money. Right now, we're two games out of the three seed. Indiana and Philly are both tied for that 3-4. So we have potential to make that three seed. I think that we win round one. It would be tough to see one of those guys round one. But do you have one team you're more worried about, Toronto or Milwaukee, to really see come that second round?
Yeah, I mean, it's really – with Milwaukee, I think Milwaukee is a team that could get upset in the playoffs just because even – it's similar with the Sixers. Like, you got your star player. With Ben Simmons, he can't shoot. Like, he is on defense. Like, you don't have to get up on him. You could just leave him open, and that's a liability. I feel like with Milwaukee, and I think Giannis has a much better jump shot than Ben Simmons, but it's still not consistent jump shot. You can play similar to that, like you play against Philly, where it's like you just have to watch the guys around him. He's got shooters around him. You got to watch the paint. And if you can figure out in any way how to contain Giannis, not guard him, just contain him, just not have him go off, just clog the paint, and he's not really going to be shooting that much. I think I would be more concerned with Toronto because they're more of a team. They're more well-balanced. They have the place. They play more team ball than Milwaukee, I think. And I think Toronto is more – I think they're just a team that isn't built. I think Milwaukee, you can figure out a game plan to defend them. Toronto, that's going to be a little bit more tougher. So I think playing against Toronto, I would not want to play Toronto. I would much rather play Milwaukee in the second round or the Eastern Conference Finals, never would be.
Yeah, that's fair. I would agree with that.
I mean, I would prefer to play Milwaukee and not Toronto. That's what I meant to say. I got my words mixed up.
Yeah, and it's likely that whichever one we see first, we're going to see the second come that Eastern Conference Finals. And I kind of rolled over that first round matchup, but is there any sort of concern if you see Philly or if you see Indiana, one of the hardest playing teams?
Have no worries against Philadelphia. I think they're just overrated. Honestly, I think that we could beat them in 4 or 5 games. I just don't think that. Starting lineup, don't get me wrong, but when it comes to their bench and just like, I don't know, I think they're a very beatable team. Indiana, even with losing Oladipo, they've been playing just as well without him than with him, and I think that they would give us more of a run for our money than Philadelphia. I mean, we've had our trouble with Philadelphia with Indiana in the regular season as well, so I think that they would be a harder matchup for us than Philadelphia. I have no concern with Philadelphia at all.
Yeah, in order to see,
hockey to say, but like that's just how I feel about them.
Yeah, and in order to see Milwaukee that round two, that would mean we're in the 4 seed. I mean, I feel like that you try to go into playoffs playing your best ball. You still try to win every game to close out the season. Is that likely what it is, or do they really have that in their mind of, I'd rather see Milwaukee, like I almost am aiming for this 4 seed instead of the 3.
Yeah, I think right now the team, should be more or is focused more on, you know, getting that chemistry up, just playing out these games, just playing well with each other than thinking about seeding. But yeah, I mean, of course, I mean, that's probably going to be on the back of your mind. Like, you want favorable matchups. It sucks that we're not going to get home court, because if we had home court, I think we could beat any team in the East without a doubt. Not having home court makes it a little bit more, definitely makes it more harder. Like, playing a 7-game series where Toronto has home court, like, so, I think right now the team should just be focused on playing it out and just with each other, figuring out different lineups, even changing up the starting lineup in comparison to playing for seeding.
Yeah, if you're going to play, like, we're trying to win the whole thing, so you're going to have to go up against the difficult teams sooner or later. So it doesn't make a difference if you have a hard team in the second round or in the conference finals. You're still going to have to beat the good teams if you want to be the best.
Yeah, exactly. And we have this is all season long. And when you would lose games to bad teams and whatnot, people would get upset. When we play against Milwaukee, Toronto, Philadelphia, we have winning record against them as a whole. Like, we have beaten these top teams. Yes, they have beaten us as well. Toronto beat us in Toronto twice. We beat them at home twice. And I think Milwaukee, we've beaten twice. We're 2-1 against, or 2-2 against. We've beaten these teams. I have the utmost confidence in my team that we can beat those teams in 7-game series. It's just like, made it more harder on ourselves not getting home court. So either way, we're going to have to play these teams, and we have beaten them in the past. So hopefully that means that we could figure them out for a 7-game series, play style, different matchups and this, that. I think we can beat anyone in the East. But yeah, I mean, we're going to have to play these hard teams eventually. So, I mean, we're probably going to have a very tough road to the finals to be able to fight for themselves and get to the finals, get past these teams.
So then, do we beat Golden State or 5 or 6 games?
I mean, listen, if we make it to the finals, I'm not saying the Celtics could beat the Warriors. I will say that, but they will give them a better matchup than any other team that will come out the East. I think that we're matched up perfectly with Golden State. The way our roster is built is to contend with a team. We put this team together and beat Golden State. Like, that's just how the NBA is now. Teams are shaping their teams up to beat Golden State. When you get to the finals, anything could happen. You know, that's what I'll say. Anything could happen. Even though the Warriors probably should win for a third year in a row, the fourth title in 5th year, in 5 years, finals, once you get to that stage, anything could happen.
Oracle Kyrie.
The thing with Kyrie, too, is people forget he didn't even play in the playoffs last year. This guy is a killer in the playoffs. He's been to that stage before. He's played against the Warriors multiple times in the finals. This guy knows. This is why I hate when people say, like, we don't need Kyrie to win. Like, we made it this far without him. Think of how much farther we can make it with him in the playoffs. Reed, like, he's a type of player that's made for big moments, that's made for the playoffs, that's made for NBA finals. That's why I have confidence in the Celtics to beat these teams, because when we're on, like, when Kyrie is in that mode, like, it is so hard to stop him. And if he can get other guys into that mode and click and think, like, guys, we come together for 16 games, we can be champions. It'll happen. I think that we're going to really start to click in the playoffs, and Kyrie's going to get them together and just lead them to the finals. And like I said, whatever happens, anything could happen when you get to that point.
Yeah, my favorite Kyrie quote for the whole season is where he was saying, I can do whatever I want on a basketball court. I can go wherever I want to go, and I can score on whoever I want to score on. And you do see that more of him in the playoffs. He's going to be a really good leader, like, during that stretch. He's going to show the young guys how hard you need to push it. And it's not like our young guys don't already have playoff experience.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, these guys, these kids, that's why I understand, like, these younger players believe that they should have bigger roles, because they did make it to Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals without Kyrie, without Gordon Hayward. They're just kids. Like, Jason Tatum is 2 months older than me, like, for God's sakes. I mean, these guys have competed at close to the highest level. Like, they've been deep in the playoffs. Like, they have that experience, but they have to understand what it takes to really championship. Like, Kyrie has done that. He's hit arguably the biggest shot in NBA history. He was on the championship team that was down 3-1 and had to win win three straight games to win an NBA title against the Golden State Warriors, who won 73 games. And there, he's played against the hardest teams on the biggest stage, back up against the wall. And that's what is going to take this team over that. That's what's going to bring this team to the next step, to the next level. I think when he hit the playoffs and Kyrie starts hitting these shots and he starts showing, like, this is what it takes to win, all the other guys will catch on and be like, all right, like, we have to step it up. We have to play like this. And that's when I think we'll start to click and everything will go well. That's just me being optimistic. That's what I think is going to happen. But playoffs come around, it's totally different than the regular season.
Yeah, I love my Kyrie, but I'm ready for finals MVP Marcus Smart. Give it the same way as Andre Iguodala, where he's guarding.
We've been waiting for that for a couple of years.
Yeah, guarding all five Warriors, where he shuts down Steph, Chase and Clay through screens. Boogie can't back him down. KD can't shoot over him.
Taking charges left and right.
I'm ready for it. Kyrie can have the next two.
I just need that matchup.
Yeah,
I love it.
Finals matchup, I'm telling you, anything could happen.
That'd be amazing too. I think besides the way that Kawhi has been playing, and also just Giannis potentially, you know, having an MVP season this year, you know, I think the matchup between the Celtics and the Warriors, you know, minus the most recent blowout, I mean, come on, who wouldn't want to see this series?
I agree, and like I said, like it would be so much easier for the Celtics if like they just all year, like, and the seeding is what's hurting them. If there's going to be one thing that holds them back from making the finals, it's going to be their seeding and like how they didn't have home court for a majority of the playoffs. Like, that's going to hurt. So I wish they kind of, you know, just for that reason, so they could have had home court. Cause like I said, if they have home court, they're going to beat any team. But yeah, even last year, like, people wanted the Celtics to beat the Cavs because everyone knew the Cavs were going to get swept. But the Celtics made it. Who knows? It could have been a little bit more competitive. It had to have been more competitive. I mean, they got swept. So, I think people should be pulling for the Celtics because if they want a really good finals matchup, way to go.
Yeah, I agree. That was about everything that I had to cover. Was there anything else that you guys wanted to touch on?
Nothing I can think of.
I'm good.
Yeah, no, I think we covered a good amount. We talked some good basketball today for the past hour. That was a good conversation.
I agree. Yeah, thank you again, Dante, for taking the time. And
I always love coming on talking to you guys. You guys are awesome.
Yeah, ditto to you, man. Great having conversations with you. So thank you to everybody for listening to this episode of Celtics Pulse. Stay tuned for the next one, and stay tuned for that Marcus Smart Finals MVP.